fought for me when some fight for their God. Oh, Jesus, you know they use me, play oh na 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 na. You know they use me, play oh. You carry me when some carry their God. You feed me, Lord, when some feed their God. You fought for me when some fight for their God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you're God who will not and cannot lie. When you make a promise, you don't go, oops, I made a mistake. You keep your word and rely, O God, upon your everlasting word this day, that you, our faithful God, will meet all of our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Whatever those needs are, they are meetable because all resources are at your disposal. All that we will ever need, all that we'll ever dream about, hope and desire for, are all possible in you. There are no impossibilities with you. And we stand upon the integrity of your word this day, recognizing that as we have studied and learned in days past and continue to be reminded of, that you are the God who will not say unto us, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when you have it in your hand to do. You are God who will not withhold good from us, to whom it is due, for it is in thy power, even the power of thine hand, to do it. So, Lord God Almighty, we rest in the integrity of this everlasting word. Blessed be your holy name, Most High God. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we decree it so done. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Welcome to the Bible study tonight. But before I get into the word with us in Proverbs, I'd like to remind us that this coming Saturday, June the 24th, there is going to be the Praise Explosion concert taking place right here live. I'd like to remind you to mark that time and that date so you can participate and be part of a wonderful worship experience. Amen. That's June the 24th, Saturday, starting at 3. It's going to be the red carpet treatment and pictures and whatever else, and the doors will be formally open for the concert at 4 p.m. Praise the Lord. And I'd like also to remind us that we are going to be having our block party on July the 15th. I'll say 1 o'clock will be the time of starting. But everyone that is going to be participating and helping should be here maybe around 9 o'clock to help, or maybe even earlier to set up and all that stuff. All right? Well, praise God. Now, if you may, please come with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. We spent much time talking about verse 28 and 29 the last 2 weeks. I am not going to attempt to do so anymore because I'll just get stuck with this particular two verses. Other than to say this, in summary, whatever God asks us to do, he will do much more than that. And when God says to us, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, saying he dwelleth securely by thee. God does the same thing. God is not going to ask you and I not to withhold good when we have the capacity and the ability to fulfill it, and then he not do the same. Whatever he tells us to do, he puts himself under that same covenant. Amen? You know, so he says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. Well, whatever the due is, it covers a great deal. The good that is due covers the bad, the good, the ugly. Somebody is down, they do healing. And says in his word, it is in his power. And he says to us, it is in our power to do certain things. But more than me, it is always in the power of God's hand to do something. Man may not be able to do it, but there's not a time that God cannot. He has the capacity, he has the ability, he has the resources, and if the resources don't exist, he makes it exist, because he created everything out of nothing. So whatever it is I need today, as an individual, whatever it is I need as a family, whatever it is I need as a church, whatever it is I need for my business, whatever it is that I need for my children, whatever it is that I need for my country, God has all the resources available to do what is right, to do that which will glorify him. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we'll leave it at that. And we find ourselves secure in him. Our trust is in him. Our faith is in him. Nobody made me come to church this evening. I came because I know I have security in him. I came because I love him. And even the love that I have for him, I did not make by myself. He put that love inside of me. So I find security in him. I find peace in him. And verse 29 says, devise not evil against thy neighbor. As far as God is concerned, I'm his neighbor. You are my neighbor. And he says, love your neighbor. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It says, devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Question I must ask myself today is, do I find security in God? Do I know I'm safe in God? If I can say yes to that, then I can hold to that word there, that God will not devise any evil against me. He says, I know the thoughts, Jeremiah 29. He says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. They're not bad, evil thoughts. They're good thoughts. Hallelujah. So the God who thinks good things towards me while I was yet a sinner, he loved me and gave himself for me. Will he withhold anything from me? Romans 8 says. It's nothing God is going to withhold. God is not going to withhold any good thing from you or from me. And so he's not going to devise evil against us. In verse 31 says, envy thou not the oppressor. There's the one that oppresses. He says, don't be envious of oppressors. Oppressors seem to be doing okay. They oppress other people, get their stuff, and enjoy other people's stuff. They put people down so that they can shine and be on top. And God says, choose none of his ways. Choose none of the ways of an oppressor. person who abuse other people, steal from other people, strip them of their rights. Says, don't envy them. There is an end to that life. The life of the person who thinks, I am it, I can do whatever it is I want to do, who's going to stop me? Sooner or later we'll find out that there is somebody that can stop them. And that person first is themselves. One day you'll wake up and find out, I have no help. I'm alone. Money cannot buy good health. One day you find yourself sick. One day you find yourself betrayed. Whatever. Don't be envious of oppressors. They think they are all that, but sooner or later they find out they met their match. Every knee must bow, and every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord. He says, don't choose the way of the oppressor. Don't choose the way of the oppressor. A person that wants to abuse people, put people down, don't choose that way. They may look like they are doing okay now, pushing people around, but there comes an end. That road will end. They're going to crash. He says, for the froward is an abomination to the Lord. The proud, arrogant person is an abomination to the Lord. But God does something else. He says, but his secret is with the righteous. The secret of the Lord is with the righteous. Remember the verse 31 says, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. And what God is saying in this next verse, but his secret is with the righteous, is this, that whatever the person that's oppressing, whatever it is that he's gaining from his oppression, that you will get the same end result of promotion and shining by learning the secrets of the Lord. That God will show you what to do to shine. The Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. The world wants you to think that the way to be on top is by climbing over everybody. But God says, he will exalt the humble. Amen? The way to the top is serving one another. He says, you want to be the greatest, serve. He who wants to be leader should serve. The pathway to the top is humility, not pushing other people down because you think that you're better than them. We are all sinners saved by God's grace. And we must be reminded of that. We're not called to look down our noses at other people, because there are no conditions that are permanent. You know, growing up, there used to be a recording. I don't remember who the artist was, but, you know, it used to go something like, there is no condition that is permanent in this world. There is no condition that is permanent in this world. Oh, wrong keys. There is no condition that is permanent in this world. There is no condition that is permanent in this world. You may be a poor man today. Tomorrow you become rich. You may be a rich man today. Tomorrow you become poor. And I was maybe, oh, 6, 7 years old when this song was playing on the radio. And I've never forgotten it. Never forgotten it all these years. Maybe 60 years ago I heard that song. And I can still remember it. It penetrated somewhere in my soul. It wasn't a Christian song, but it had a message. You don't look down your nose at anybody. Don't oppress anyone. Instead, give a hand up, lift people up. Give people a sense of hope. That is the way of the Lord. Humility, service, helping others, and God showing you, giving you insight. Since God will do nothing, Amos 3. God will do nothing in the earth except that he first reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. There are secrets that God reveals, secrets that he will cause us to speak forth out of our mouths. Last Sunday, this is Friday, and I mentioned it again on Sunday. The Lord saying, tell my people that when they bring their offerings, they should say, God, speak, Father, speak for me. Speak for me. He knows what needs to be proclaimed. He said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So if there's anything that's devouring the essence of victory in my life, God, speak to it. Rebuke it. Let it go. There are certain things that God causes me to speak, but there are certain things that God says, you know, I'm going to speak for you. You know, the psalmist says, he will remember his covenant for me. When I forget the covenants of God, God says, I'll remember it for you. Hallelujah. He has me covered. He has me covered. He has you covered. I can trust him that he will help me in my helpless estate, that he will speak for me. He says a proud person is an abomination to the Lord. In essence, wants me to spit. Whatever, you know, this guy, you know, just, oh. He says, but his secret is with the righteous. He will reveal things to you to do at particular times. And you don't know all the things that God is averting and removing out of your way that may be stumbling blocks to you. But he's doing it. He's doing it. He's showing you what to do, what to say, and how to say it. I remember one time, somebody was saying something. It was very inappropriate. And all of a sudden, from the depths of my being, not intentionally, but by the Spirit of God, I just started laughing. I couldn't stop laughing. I just laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. Couldn't stop myself from laughing. It was being generated by the Spirit of God. Why? Because God was using my laughter as a weapon. See? As a weapon to smash away all of that evil debris that was coming my way, knocking it all off by my laughter. There were other times when, instead of that, I was just worshiping and praising God. Huh? Why? Because that's what God wanted to use at that particular time. God can use anything. He reveals secrets to you. As you abide in the secret place of the Most High, God will fight for you and help you bring about a resolution, no matter what the situation is. Verse 33 says, the curse of the Lord, which is the absence of the blessing, is in the house of the wicked. There's no blessing there. But he blessed the habitation of the just. We can take a hold of that, knowing that God has justified us and graced us with the gift of righteousness. I can declare my house, my habitation is blessed. Not just the house that I live in, you know, in the natural, made out of wood, mortar, whatever else, bricks, but this house, my body is blessed. So I can take a hold of that passage and say, my body is blessed. Sickness and disease cannot be in here. Because sickness and disease have to do with a curse. Poverty has to do with a curse. I am blessed, therefore I am rich. I am wealthy. I am blessed. I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I am blessed in my going out. I'm blessed in my coming in. Bless the Lord, O my soul, Psalm 133 says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. And then it goes on and says, he's a God who healeth thy diseases. Amen? We serve a good, good God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He blessed the habitation of the just. When you go home today, know that you are stepping into the blessed. Praise God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. My habitation is blessed. The habitation of physical building that I live in, blessings are there. Blessings are in this body also. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hear what God's word says in this powerful passage of scripture. In Psalm 112, it says, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. And then it says, wealth and riches shall be in his house. That's part of the blessing. Wealth and riches in my house, in your house. and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. In other words, you don't have any dark days, and therefore there's no occasion for stumbling. If it was dark where you are going to, as you are approaching that place, light comes up. You know, in the natural, you know, you might have lighting like that. When you come in, the light turns on. You know, when you're not in the room, the light shuts off. As soon as you step into the room, the light comes on. Well, God says, for you, the upright, light ariseth, comes on. He's gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. You're a lender, not a borrower. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees desire upon his enemies. He had dispersed. He'd given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. This passage of scripture, Paul quotes in 2 Corinthians. In a passage where he's talking about giving. He had dispersed. He had given to the poor. God anoints us to be givers. Amen? To be lenders and not borrowers. And he says, the wicked shall see it. They shall see the blessing of God in your life. And they're going to be overwhelmed by it. He says, he shall gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Whatever the plans of the wicked are, it will come to an end. It will not come to fruition. They can plan every which way and get all disappointed. They write everything they want to write and it all blows up in their face because everything is overturned. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. That's the faithfulness of the God we serve. He's faithful to us, his people. Hallelujah. It says in verse 34, surely, talking about God, his cornet discorners. Those who want to scorn you or scorn him, God says, I'm going to scorn them. But what is he going to do to the other? But he giveth grace unto the lowly. He giveth grace, an enablement, an empowerment unto the lowly. The lowly here is referencing the humble. The word for lowly here is a Hebrew word called anav. And it talks, this is a word for somebody who is emotionally depressed. Because of what is happening around them, they depress, they're lowly. And God says, I'm going to step in here and I'm going to fix it. I'm going to cause you to experience something different. Yes, they're trying to oppress you, trying to put you down, trying to overwhelm you with whatever, but I'm going to give you grace, an enablement that will cause you to be fortified. Now, how do I put this? This is a bottle of water. with water or no water in it. I can squeeze it. If there's no water in it, I can even smash it. But let's say inside of this bottle, I put a very strong metal. I won't be able to do what I'm doing to it now, because the strength of this bottle is no longer its outside. It's what's in the core. That makes sense? Well, the grace of God is God's core inside of you. So no matter how hard the enemy tries to break you, he can't break you, because the one that is in you is greater than the one who is trying to break you. That makes sense? So we need to draw on the anointing of God. Circumstances will want to subdue you and subject you to their whimsical control, but the grace of God causes you to be strong. The Word of God says, greater is He that is in you, greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. Amen? No matter how much the pressure, it's not going to break it. So assume that this is dropped down to the lowest level of the ocean. Now, at different depths, there's forces that want to crush this thing. The lower you go, per inch, square inch, it might be 600 pounds of pressure trying to crush this thing. But inside of you, if there is the capacity to handle 50,000 pounds per square inch, this bottle will still be intact. That makes sense? It doesn't matter anymore, because its ability to stay in shape is no longer based on the forces that are pushing at it, trying to crush it. It is based on the force that is inside that withstands everything that is coming against it. And that's what God is saying about you and I. I am putting inside you my ability, my power, my presence, and you are not crushable. Now, that's only true for the believer who believes that he has received the gift of God's righteousness. Basically, what I'm saying to us today is this, that to the extent that you believe God to be God in your life, to that extent, your natural circumstances have no power over your life. If I didn't believe that, I would be crushed a long time ago. Because I don't think anybody here has a clue on how much pressure comes on me at any particular time on any particular day. But I keep on moving. How are you moving? Because greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. Remember what we read in Psalm 112 a moment ago. He says that this righteous man is not afraid or concerned about evil tidings. Remember that? Can you give it to me again so we see it? Psalm 112. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Oh, I'm going to come and reclaim your house, your car. Not afraid. Why aren't you afraid? My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You should be afraid. Yeah, that's what the world says. I should be afraid. But my trust is in the Lord. Why is my trust in the Lord? My trust is in the one who is able to meet all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But if he's able to meet your needs all according to his riches in glory, how come he's not met it yet? And I say, how come he did not show up for Lazarus until Lazarus died? That Lazarus died was not the end of the story. The end of the story was he said, this sickness is not unto death. But it seemed like what he said was not true, because when he said this sickness is not unto death, Lazarus was still breathing. And he said, this sickness is not unto death. And the guy died. But he came and said, Lazarus, come forth. Because he saw past death. God sees past what we think is the end. How many end of the roads have I come to, I wonder? Well, I thought, oh, this is it. We're finished. We're done. My goose is cooked. And then I wake up the next day and my goose is still not cooked. And I'm still alive. and moving ahead. Huh? What happened? Well, my trust is in the Lord. My heart is fixed. Trusting in the Lord. That's the way it is, saints. That we don't give up because we know that God is not a God who gives up. When Jesus hung on the cross and said, it is finished, you think, oh, he's done, he's defeated. No, he was declaring that he's already taken care of whatever it is that needs to be taken care of. He by himself went to the very depths of hell and took care of the hordes of hell, all the powers of darkness. He shows up and he says, hand me over the keys. And set everybody that was held in bondage free. They all came out of the grave. There's no end. Hallelujah. The devil does not have the last word, and your circumstances don't have the last word. You may not know how the problem is going to be solved, but you can be certain God will never leave you to be ashamed. He says, my people shall not be ashamed. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 35. The wise inherit glory. Wow. Oh, my Lord. That is incredible. The wise shall inherit glory. They shall inherit glory. What is glory? Glory is all that God is. The full essence of who he is. He says you're going to inherit it. you will inherit glory. Glory. You're going to inherit it. You're going to receive glory. You're going to walk in that glory. You're going to be fulfilled in that glory. It's an inheritance. An inheritance is something that is given to you because you've been qualified to participate in that blessing. Amen? So an inheritance generally will go to family members. But a generous man will go beyond his family members and put in his will, his friends, his whatever. You know, some people might give to their dogs and their cats and whatever else. I want my cat to be taken care of when I'm dead, so I'm willing to my cat $20 million. As if the cat is going to eat up $20 million. But God says here, wise people shall inherit glory. Who is the wise person? He that winneth souls. He that winneth souls is what? Wise. Okay? A soul winner is a wise person, and they will inherit all that God is. We all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Sin caused us to be separated from the glory of God, all that God is. But wisdom, by coming back to God, for a wise man is the one who comes, hears God's words, and does it. Doers or those that are obedient to the words of God, they are wise. I've seen so many people, even in church, that are not wise because they never obey God's word. God says something and they say the other. God says this and they say that. Always going contrary to the wisdom of God's word. A wise man comes into agreement with the word of God, aligns himself with God. The wise inherit glory, but shame, which God says is not for his children, he said, shame shall be the promotion of fools. Fools will be promoted by shame. Now, when you think about promotion, we only think about promotion as something that is going up. But promotion is also something that is going down. From 0 point, minus 20 is promotion. And plus 20 is promotion. Promotion in this direction or that direction. God says, the wise shall inherit glory. That is their promotion. They tap into all that God is. They experience all that God is. They have testimonies. Things to talk about. This was where I was, and look what God did. This was what was happening, and look what God did. This happened, and look what God did. It looked like I was going down, but look what God did. As promotion. But for fools, it's shame. Shame and greater shame and greater shame and greater shame yet. That is not our portion. Amen? Shame shall not be our portion. The word of God is true. There is a statement that God makes to us in Psalm 61. Oh no, Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61 and verse 7. He says, for your shame, instead of the shame that the enemy would like to bring into your life, you shall have double. And for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, and that statement, and for confusion or for disgrace, that's what that is. That word, that confusion, disgrace. They shall rejoice in their portion or in their inheritance. In their inheritance. So God says, you're going to receive an inheritance of glory. He says, you're going to enjoy it. Amen? And you're going to doubly enjoy it. Praise God. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, in the Berean Standard Bible, it says, instead of shame, my people will have a double portion, and instead of humiliation, they will rejoice in their share. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. God is good. Hallelujah. I like it. I like what the Legacy Standard Bible, how it puts it. It says, instead of your shame, you'll have a double portion. And instead of dishonor, they will shout for joy over their portion. Therefore, they will possess a double portion in their land. Everlasting gladness will be theirs. And the Amplified says, instead of your former shame, you will have a double portion. And instead of humiliation, your people will shout for joy over their portion. Therefore, in their land, they will possess double what they had forfeited. I like that. What they have forfeited. Everlasting joy will be theirs. Whatever it is that we have lacked, lost, God says, restoration. Double. The enemy wanted to shame you, wanted to disgrace you, wanted to confuse you, wanted to dishonor you. I'm going to do something totally different. You're going to get reimbursed for pain and suffering. Amen? So tonight, we're going to close with this. We're going to go before the Lord and we're going to ask for the activation of His blessings in our lives and for everything that we've lost, directly or indirectly. We're going to ask for the double blessing that the Word of God has promised us. This year, the Lord said to us that it was a year of restoration and restructuring. The restructuring is to make it possible for us to handle the weight of the blessing that God wants to bestow upon us. The word for glory is the word kabod. And kabod is a weight, the weightiness of God. You have to have the ability to be it. Amen? So God, restructure me so I can carry the inheritance of your glory that you have assigned for me to enjoy in the atmosphere of Dublin. Because he wants to double for the shame, the struggle, the pain, the confusion, the delays. I'm going to give you double. I'm going to speedify. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to speedify. I'm going to cause a speedification to take place, that you are going to outrun those that are ahead of you or think they are ahead of you. You're going to catch up and just pass them by at a high speed. That he will say, I am at the end of all my abilities. I can never catch up. You know, if somebody's ahead of you and they are at the highest speed and you go past them as if they were on a standstill, all the breath and the life will come out of them. you just stop. what am I doing? I believe that's exactly what God is going to do with our lives. As you come, you catch and go past, and those that thought that they had a hand over you, I give up. There's nothing we can do about this. It's too much. Can't catch up. I thought I was ahead. Well, I don't have anything inside of me to meet up with this guy. You can see it in the races when people are running, doing their races, you know, it's very the long races. This guy just comes and just, whoop. What? How? And the guy that just went past, you know, first tries to, and then he just drops out. He just, forget it. I can't. I'm not going to kill myself. I'm not going to catch up. So it is done in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we are thankful for your many blessings. We're thankful, Lord God, for the capacity of supernatural favor that you've bestowed upon our lives. Thank you, Lord, oh God, for the privilege of sharing your word and studying your word, becoming, oh God, aligned and one with your word. We know, Lord, that we cannot know you as we ought to. But we do know that day by day, you are revealing yourself to us, and day by day, we are being transformed. We have been renewed. We've been changed into the same glory, from glory to glory. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that day by day we're becoming less and less like the world and becoming more and more like you. Let your eternal, awesome power cause us, O God, now and always, to be fortified within and without. So, Lord, O God, that we are not crushable, hinderable, resistible, stoppable, delayable in any way, shape, or form. But, Lord, O God, that supernatural speed is put in us, even as it was with the prophet Elijah. As you overcame and outran Ahab's chariots, Lord, O God, may we, O God, experience speedification even now. Experience this empowering trust of grace that causes us to inherit glory. Your kingdom, Father, has come. Your will is done in our lives, here in the earth as it is in heaven. All of our needs are met according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Your hand is upon us. Your greatness promotes us. Blessed be your holy name forever. Thank you, Father, that for the shame that the enemy tried to project on us, we are now experiencing double blessings, double of your glory apportioned to us, and we are enjoying life to the full. In Jesus' mighty name, we decree it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord for his faithfulness. We thank God for his grace that is sufficient. And for those that did not hear the announcement at the beginning, Praise Explosion is going to be on here this Saturday coming. And I want to encourage you to participate. It starts at 3 o'clock. And just come and find your place here, ready to worship God in spirit and in truth. It is free entry. Amen? Free entry. I don't know if they're going to have an opportunity to give an offering, but that will be something that we know we should do anyhow. Amen? So just come and participate and enjoy the goodness of God. Spread the word. And also be reminded that on July the 15th, we are having a block party. Invite your neighbors, your friends, people that will enjoy, being part of something exciting. It's for the adults and for the children. And on the Saturday after the 15th, that will be the 22nd, we're going to have a movie night for everybody, focus is for the children, but the adults will enjoy the movie also. And so that's what's going to be happening in the next 2 weeks, okay? Not 2 weeks, July 15th and 22nd, back to back. And don't forget, something is happening that week. Do you know what else is happening that week? Huh? Mama's birthday. That's right. On the 24th is her birthday. So the closest time for you to join in will be on the 23rd. I'm going to try to see if we can have, a gathering after service on Sunday the 23rd, for all of us to fellowship together and just have a wonderful time celebrating a great woman of God. Amen? Blessings. Awesome. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. Remember, declare, Lord, my God, speak for me. Amen? Father, speak for me. As I give this offering today, speak for me. Rebuke the devourer for my sake. And open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessings upon me. Amen? And as the blessings of God come upon you, and they come in all kinds of forms, but the primary way that the blessings of God are opened to you and I is in God giving to you great ideas and the necessary support to fulfill those ideas, connecting you with people that will favor you. Blessings come in all kinds of ways. It may come in cash. It may come in things that have nothing to do with cash. But the blessings of God will come that will overwhelm you as you look and say, God, how? How did I? Hi, how? And finally, I want you to pray about July 3rd. We're going to be having a mass crusade. We're expecting to reach anywhere from 100 to 200,000 people during this crusade. And it's going to be a crusade into a particular area of this particular country where the gospel has not been preached. The true gospel has not been preached for well over 75 years. So you know that is ground that is ready to soak in the water of God's love. We are just expecting God to just save as many thousands of people during that crusade. And that is a blessing, because I didn't go looking for it, but God put it together. Amen? Praise God. Let's honor God with our giving and enjoy the goodness of the Lord. And for those that are online, the Lord bless you richly. And may He sustain and keep you. May you prosper in His loving kindness and tender mercies. Next Wednesday is going to be our last Bible study for the summer until September, but prayer meetings on Friday continue. So this Friday is prayer meeting, okay? Good. God bless you. Good night.